thank you for revelation that floods our minds. Thank you for every error is corrected and confusion is dispelled. And our minds focus on your Son Jesus, and we see him as he sees us in him. Amen. Amen. Mark's Gospel 11:23, we've been looking at you can have what you say. So we'll bring it to an end today for now. Right. Mark's Gospel chapter 11, verse 23. Say, I can have. You know, say like a minute. You're not even saying it well. Say, I can have what I say. Look at this, verse 23. I'll start from 22 actually. And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. 23. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Amen. Amen. Now let's look at the background of this account. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, and he was at Bethany. Then in verse 12, and on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And having seen a fig tree afar off having leaves, he said, and seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of the figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Now notice that. He spoke to the tree. He said, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter. And the Bible says, his disciples, those who were with him, they heard what he said. In other words, he was not silent. He didn't murmur it. He said it loud enough for those around him to hear it. Now, let's practice that a bit. Say something that you want someone beside you to hear. No, say it loud and clear. You just say something like, give me 1 million now. Is that what you say? Say it again, come on. So the person heard you well. So whatever Jesus did, he wasn't talking to himself. You know, sometimes you're talking to yourself and say, why did you say, don't worry, I'm not talking to you. You say something, say, what did you say? Say, well, I wasn't talking to you. Sometimes the person beside you can pick what you say, sometimes he doesn't. But this time around, all his disciples, approximately 12 of them at least, but they must have been more than that because they always had, Matthias was there, obviously, and then the other 70 probably were there. He said it so loud that everyone heard what he said. Hallelujah. He wasn't murmuring it. He said it's so loud, everybody heard what he said. And then one more thing. What he said was not ambiguous. One interesting thing is he didn't mention God. And that's what makes it remarkable for his disciples. He didn't mention God. He didn't say, by the will of God, by the power of God, by the grace of God, by the might of the Almighty God. He just said, no man eat fruit of thee again after. And everyone beside, around him, pardon me, they heard what he said. He said it so clearly that they heard him without doubt. So, having heard what he said, go back to 21. And Peter calling to remembrance, 21. All right. 21. He says, I was trying to check something. Oh, good. Go back to 14. Jesus answered and said unto it. Now check the word answered. In the way it's put in there, it's more like a conversation. Because the word here is apokrinoma in the Greek. A-P-O-K-R-I-N-O-M-A-I. It's actually to take up a conversation that involves judgment. In other words, you tell me something like, maybe you say, you don't know how to, you don't know how to use a phone. Then I say, what do you mean? So in other words, I'm responding to something you said. Now, I guess those around Jesus will have wondered, why is he engaging a tree? It doesn't make any sense. He's engaging the tree. Because the word here means to actually take up a conversation. So it's not like he just spoke to anything. He was actually responding to something. Hallelujah. That's important. He answered back. In other words, that means there was a statement the tree made without saying anything. You know, there are things like that in life. You don't have to use words, but they are saying something. And here's Jesus. He is responding to what the tree represents at that point. So he answered and said to it. In other words, again, the word apokrinoma means to judge. In other words, he responded in judgment. No man eat fruit of thee again ere after. And the Bible says his disciples heard what he said. Now go to 21. I'll start from 20 actually. And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Dried up from where? All right, very good. That means, in verse 21 now, and Peter calling to remembrance said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which you curse is withered away. That means that when Jesus spoke, nothing happened. Nothing happened. Now, we had seen instances where he spoke and something happened immediately. For example, when there was the wind, and he says, peace be still. Immediately, the wind stopped blowing. But in this instance, his disciples didn't notice anything. Because if something had happened immediately, they would have said, Master, wow! See something. Nothing happened immediately. And then records say, it was 3 days after. 3 days. How many days again? 3 days after that they saw this and found out, wow, what Master said on Thursday, we saw it on Sunday. Interesting. 3 days after. Or maybe Friday, they saw it on Sunday. Then he said, the fig tree which you cursed. Now, I just want to deal with this quickly. I've seen someone, there was someone who told me he was trying to justify cursing people. That was years ago. I preached for the church and I told them Christians don't curse. And he was angry. You know, he now said, but Jesus cursed the fig tree. You know, some people make some submissions. You feel like going, are you that dumb? It's like saying, you killed a rat. And say, murder! You know, that's not intelligent, is it? And I ask the fellow, I say, are you a fig tree? It just doesn't make any sense to equate what Jesus said to the fig tree to you saying to someone. And do not forget again, Jesus didn't use the word curse. It was Peter that used the word curse. That's important to know. Alright, now the word curse, of course, we don't have a room to curse others. It's the same word used for curse. I'll spell it for you. Kataromai, K-A-T-A, K-A-T-A-R-O-M-A-I, K-A-T-A-R-O-M-A-I. The funny thing is that Jesus used these same words in Matthew 5:44, and he says, bless them that curse you. Matthew 5:44. He says, bless them that curse you. He's talking about enemies. In Matthew 25:41, he used that for those whom the king, punished in the parable he gave. Matthew 25:41. He says, you are cursed. That's the point. In Luke 6:28, he says the same thing. Bless and curse not, or bless those who curse you. Luke 6:28. So Jesus has never told us to curse anybody. Luke 6:28, Matthew 5:44, then Romans 12:14. Bless and curse not. Look at Romans 12:14. Bless and curse not. Turn there quickly. What does it say? Huh? Come on. What does it say? Huh? What does it say? Huh? Bless, huh?
Bless them that persecute you.
Bless them that persecute you. Bless and curse not. Now, did you notice that every instance we have read the word curse not had to do with human beings? Human beings. Except one instance, which I think I should just show you. I mentioned it now, but I think we should just look at it together. Matthew 25 and verse 41. Now, I'm just saying this so that you don't get confused by anybody. Because Matthew 25:41, the parable I just mentioned. Then shall he say also unto the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, unto everlasting fire. Matthew 25:41. Prepared for the devil and his angels. This was the parable of the king who said, when I was blind, when I was hungry, did you give me food? Matthew 25. But notice something. He didn't say, I curse you. He said, you are cursed. In other words, that means the fellow, all right, earned what's going to happen to him. So it's not like the king cursed them. He said, you are accursed. Do you understand that? You understand that? Very good. So let's go to James 3. James 3. James 3 and then verse 8. But let me start from 9. Let's take verse 9 together. James 3 verse 9. Are you there? Are you there? Well, let's go. There we bless we God, even the Father, and there we curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Verse 10. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Amen. So, we are not supposed to curse anyone. Okay? We aren't supposed to curse anyone. So it's not like, oh, Jesus caused a fig tree, I need to cause you a fig tree. No. He didn't cause human beings. Yes. So we can speak to situations in that instance, right? And then speak to them, because the word curse means to fail. To fail. Or to speak of to fail. So in other words, we can make something fail. That's what Peter was referring to. That you made it to fail. In other words, it stopped functioning normally. Or it stopped functioning altogether. So, go to Matthew 21. So, Jesus spoke it so loud that everyone heard it. In other words, it wasn't silent. You know, there was no time. Look at this now. There was no time that Jesus spoke to a situation or a demon or a sickness, and he murmured his words. There was not a time. His words were discernible, very clear. In fact, there were instances, about 1,000 people heard him, or more. They heard what he said. In fact, there are instances you hear, he spoke with a loud voice. So, there's something about the tone of your voice and faith. Something about the tone of your voice and faith. You can't have silent faith. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Talking about the tone of your voice and faith. Now, don't get it wrong. You are not speaking for people to hear you, but you say loud enough that you are heard. So, Jesus wasn't silent. He wasn't murmuring his faith. Like, well, why did you say? Well, we thank God for everything. So he made it loud enough to be heard. Hallelujah. So the work of faith is loud. The work of faith is loud. Very loud. He made it loud enough to be heard. And I told you one time, sometimes thoughts will drop in your mind, and thoughts will drop in your heart. You just hear some thoughts. It's just like the mountain. What do? Jesus answered. You need to respond. Hallelujah. You heard me? You need to respond. And say, no. Praise God. It will not happen. Because if you keep silent, none's going to work. No, it will not happen. Praise God. So say, who are you talking to? Not your business. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus didn't say, guys, I feel like talking to this tree. What do you think? Stretch your hands towards me as I pray for this, as I speak to you. He spoke. Praise God. Straight away. So, there's none like being silent about it. He didn't mention God. Look at the Matthew 21 experience. Matthew 21:21 account. Are you in church? Are you in church? Matthew 21:21. Someone asked me one time, he said, all right, I'll talk about this later. Matthew 21:21. Okay, look at verse 21. Verily I say unto you, if you have faith, we saw that the first day, and doubt not, you shall not only do this, which is done to the fig tree, but if you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. So, when we say this mountain, we're referring to what? Jesus said, I've just spoken to a fig tree, but you see, you can also speak to this mountain. Now, of course, the question will be, was he talking figuratively or literally? Now, the truth is, Jesus never moved any physical mountain in all the time he spent here. Is that right? Now, I had someone, I had this discussion with a theologian years ago. He said, no, he believes that Jesus was speaking figuratively. I said, I agree with you. Because he told me that Mark 11:23, he thinks that what the faith movement, Kenneth Hagin particularly, thought about it, is false doctrine. And I said, why? I don't discard what people say. I said, why did you say it? He said, because the mountain was not figurative, was not literal. I said, fine. But was a fig tree literal? He said, yes. Did it wither spiritually or literally? He said, literally. Excellent. So I said, good. So we first agreed that the fig tree was literal. So let's deal with the mountain. Now I said, yep. He's an elderly theologian. He's probably been a theologian before I was born. So I said, let me look at a verse of scripture. So I'll tell you that the mountain Jesus was referring to is not Israel. He said it's something to do with Israel and the Gentile. You know, most of this theology tried to play down on the miraculous and on the power of God. So they try to zero in everything Jesus said as though we can't do the same. I said, no, sir. Let's go to Matthew 17. So I'm saying that for your purpose. Because sometimes it's not just good to say what it is. It's also good to explain what it shouldn't be. So you don't get confused. Matthew 17. Now, look at the background. This is how I explained to him and he kept quiet. Praise God. Matthew 17. That was 2007. Matthew 17. Now, the scenario here was the same thing. Verse 20. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith, are you there? Are you there? If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Now look at this one now. In this instance, what was the background? A man, knelt down in verse 14 and brought his child and said his child had epilepsy. It's called lunatic in that place. Lunatic doesn't mean mad. It actually means epileptic. And then he said, I brought him to your disciples and they couldn't cure him. And then Jesus, in verse 19-18, rebuked the devil and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. So what was the background? He was speaking to sickness, all right, and a demon. And he called the sickness and the demon what? This mountain. So Jesus used the word mountain for sickness, disease, and also obstacles. And like we said when we started, he is teaching us how to use our authority. Are you in church? Are you in church? Because this is how to use the believer's authority. So he's speaking. He's speaking to the sickness and he's speaking to the disease. Alright? So sickness can be called a mountain. And then, how many of you know that sickness talks? Oh, you've never been sick before. Let me see how you know. Sickness talks. It speaks. Have you been ill before and then your body felt, we are going to break down totally. We will be down. And you almost can hear all the cells of your body and the blood saying, we are down. Eh? We are down. I say, we are down. And they're speaking to you. Or you feel ill, and then you check, maybe you Google it, or you hear someone died of the same disease. Then imagination flood your mind. You have part one, part two, part three. You say, huh? Right. At that point, a mountain has emerged. And you need to talk back. Praise God. Are you still out there? You need to talk. I remember in 2001, a lady was diagnosed with an inoperable disease. Year 2000, an inoperable disease. And so she came to me and said, let us pray. Okay? So I said, let's pray. So she kept quiet and I kept quiet. After a while, she looked up and felt maybe I slept off. I didn't sleep off. I held her hand. Said, I'm waiting for you, sir. I said, to do exactly what? We want to pray. I said, no. The sickness is in your body, not mine. You will need to talk to it. Praise God. Because I asked her before, I said, what do you want? She said, I'm not going to go for the surgery, and then I will be healed. Because it was inoperable that they were going to check and do, you know, do exploration in our body and all that. I said, you need to speak to it yourself. So what do I do? I said, exactly what you think. Speak to it. So I held her hand. She said, Father Lord. I said, Father Lord is not the thing in your body. You say Father Lord. Don't say Father Lord. Father Lord Jesus. Then there's nothing called Father Lord. The Father is the Lord. The Lord is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Father Lord, I declare and I decree. You want to decree for Father Lord? I said, you will need to speak to it yourself. And so she showed my hand. I command the sickness, she mentioned it actually, to go and leave my body now. And I said, amen. So she still waited. Maybe I was going to pray. So see you later. Hallelujah. I said, don't forget to keep saying it. You know, say once, keep saying it. Praise God. And she never needed the surgery. Praise God. Not even the exploratory surgery. She never needed it. Hallelujah. So, you need to learn to talk to it and speak to it by yourself. Now, I must say this, and I say this all the time when I talk about healing. Sometimes healing comes by just using your common sense. There are some, your mountain is you. You're plainly just careless about yourself. You're right? That's just the point. Sometimes I'm also not smart. Sometimes I act like, you know, I don't care. And then your body will tell you have to care. You get that. But then sometimes that happens. But then you need to learn to speak through it all by yourself. Amen. I said amen. The mountain needs to hear your voice. Hear the mountain? Needs to hear my voice. That's important. Needs to hear your own voice. And so Jesus said to his folks, he said, but this kind goeth not by prayer and by fasting. People have thought, Jesus said, this kind of demon. That's not what he said. He just cast out the demon without fasting and prayer. So what kind goeth not out? You know, he cast out the demon himself without fasting and prayer. So what kind goeth not but by fasting and prayer? A kind of demon? Superior demon? That's a superintendent of all demons will require. What kind goeth not but by fasting and prayer? You go quiet. I'm not going to answer. You have answered this before. Anyway, find out, but it can't be the demon. No demon requires fasting. Is that clear? Except the demon of stupidity. Alright, now look at this. Go to Romans 15 verse 4. So my faith must be loud. Come on, say that with me. Even the way you have said it is not loud. My faith must be loud.
My faith must be loud.
Can you guys give me a little bit more volume? Say my faith must be loud.
My faith must be loud.
Make it louder a bit.
My faith must be loud.
You talk like this normally?
I command in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name.
Have you ever spoken like this and the demon says, I didn't hear you? Or demon says, be bold. Can't you be confident? You know, you go, you know, some people, they want to address an issue, maybe prayer, and deal with an affliction of someone, and they go around the issue and don't talk about it. Father, I can't remain like this. Jesus, it must not happen. Spirit, what is going on? And then they go, and they say, come on, can you just talk to the mountain? Mountain, that's the only person they didn't address. They can talk to the Father, talk about the Son, talk to the Spirit. The mountain said, mountain, I love you more than anything. Romans 15, are you a judge? Look at verse 4. Glory to God. Amen. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, okay, that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. Now notice he said, whatever things were written before now, the word there is prographo, referring to the Old Testament, P-R-O-G-R-A-P-H-O. Whatever written before now, that's the Old Testament, were written for our learning. You find Paul used the same word in Galatians 3:1. Jesus Christ evidently set forth and crucified among you. That means he was written before now as crucified among you. Galatians 3:1. He said it's for our learning. So I say our learning. What's the word learning? The word learning there means teaching. That means there are things we can teach for our learning, or we can teach to believers from the Old Testament. And we're talking about, you can have what you say. Can we find this truth in the Old Testament? Yes, we can. You can have what you say. Someone say, what you say doesn't matter. It's what you do. You know, there's some guys, their name is Do. Everything is Do. They want to do right without first of all speaking right. You don't say, oh, I am an over, or maybe like it's you. Maybe you overcame something in that context, because we don't overcome sin anyway, but you overcame something. Whoa! I am an overcomer. No, you didn't become an overcomer because of that event. You were an overcomer before the event. So don't get into a works mentality. Some folks almost think like it is the doing that justifies what God has done. No. See, what God has done is valid and true in us before we do anything. Don't just preach the grace that saves. There is the grace that changes. What does that mean? It means nothing. Sanctifying grace. There is saving grace. There is sanctifying grace. Serving grace. There is keeping grace. Because you have refused to accept what God has done as true. I'm what He says I am. I have what He says I have. And that's that. So let's go to the Old Testament and see an example of what we're dealing with. Look at Numbers 14. Numbers 14. Put your hands in Numbers 14 and go to Hebrews 4:2. Hebrews 4:2. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, verse 2, Hebrews 4. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So the gospel was preached unto them, but it was not mixed with what? Faith in them that heard it. It's not God that mixes it with faith. You're going to do it yourself. The word to mix with faith, that means to unite it with faith. In other words, what you believe and what God says must be the same. Mix it with faith. Now, who was he talking about here? Just back up a little bit and you will see it. Verse 17, chapter 3. With whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had seen whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? So, this particular account will be found in Numbers. Go to Numbers. Numbers 13 and 14. Numbers. Numbers 13 and 14. Now the background of this story was that Moses sent out the elders to go and check out the promised land, what's Canaan. And they came back and they gave account of what they saw. Please listen carefully to what I'm about to show you. Now, in verse 28 of chapter 14, yes, hear what Moses said to them. Are you there? Verse 28, are you in verse 28? Let's take it together. I'll wait for you. And say unto them, as truly as I live, everybody, read your Bible, sir. Check your Bible. That's why you have it. Let it read your Bible in church. Amen. Don't get bored. Hallelujah. Are you there? Come on, let's go. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as you have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. As you have what? Spoken in my ears, so will I do. So exactly what you said. So the question is, what did they say? Now, go to chapter 13. Okay, go to 29 first. Let's read it together. 29, let's go. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to the number of your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Notice that. Which have what? Murmured against me. Listen to this now. Remember we read Hebrews 3:17. Those whose carcasses fell where? In the wilderness. And the writer of Hebrews calls it because of unbelief. Alright? Come on. Are we together? No. So look at this verse 30. Let's take it together. Doubtless. Verse 30, let's go. Doubtless, you shall not come into the land concerning which I swore to make you dwell therein, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. What did they say? You know, you say, eh? What in the world did these people say? They must have said something very bad. Maybe they said something very bad, like, it no go better for you, God. Something like that. You know, what did I just say? Something like, God. You know, maybe they said something really bad. Why would their carcasses fall in the world? They must have said something so bad. What did they say? Look at chapter 14 one more time. Verse 1. And all, let's read it together. Verse 1, let's go. And all the congregation lifted up their voice in one accord. Sorry, that's my own version. In one accord. You know, people can unite very easily in things like this. They lift their voice together. Congregation. And there were about 2 million people. Have you ever seen 2 million people say the same thing? All night. Let's take it together. Come on, let's go. And all the congregation, their voice and cried. And the people wept that night. Look at verse 2. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we had died in this wilderness? Let's say verse 3. And wherefore hath the Lord brought unto us this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be prey? Were it not better for us to return unto Egypt? And they said to one another, let us make a captain and let us return to Egypt. Did you discover that they didn't do anything? They just spoke. You know, they never went back to Egypt. We never saw them go back to Egypt, but the scripture says they did. In their hearts and in their words. They never physically went to Egypt, but the scripture says they did. Come on, are you there? Are you following this? Come on, are you following this? Now, go back to 13. Let's see. What exactly triggered this? Now, when the elders came back, Numbers 13, what they did here is really harmless. It's what you call reality. They were just being realistic. Numbers 13. Let's take 26 together. Okay, let's take from 25. Let's go. 25, let's go. I want everyone to read, please. Let's start again. And they returned from searching over land after 40 days. Verse 26. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all congregation of Israel, unto the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and to all congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. 27. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither you send us, and surely it flowed with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Come on, hold on somewhere. Hold on. That is, my God, it's true. As God said it, that's how we found it. We found exactly what you told us was there. Yep, we saw it. It's in 1 Peter 1:5. It's in 2 Corinthians 5:5. You know, you can quote the verse. We saw it. We saw it. Sincerely. But now look at this. Verse 28. Never. Numbers 13. Amen. Come on, look at this. Verse 20 again. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, and the Amalekites dwelt in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites, I don't like this particular one, let's go, and the Amorites, I try not to read it, Jebusites, dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell in the sea and by the coast of Jordan. Verse 30. Now, do you understand? As they started speaking, Caleb knew where they were going. Because Caleb saw what they saw. He said, stop! Because they said, nevertheless. And then he started telling, you know, the reality is this, sir. We must not deny the facts. And that's how we start with unbelief. We cannot deny the facts. Yes, we know we are what he says we are. But we cannot deny the fact. Faith is not denying the fact. Even at the sermon on that. Caleb said, stop it. Nevertheless, he said, stop it. And said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able, praise God, to overcome it. But the man that went up and said, we'll be not able. Did you discover that the first statement they made was not conclusive? They were just giving a report. But he now responded, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Whether they use scales, I don't know. Whatever they use to measure it, but in their minds, they said, they are stronger than we. Look at 32. Let's take 32 together. Let's go. And they brought up an evil report of the land with their search unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which, search it, is a land that heats up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. Verse 33. And there we saw the giants, and the sons of Anak, come of giants, and we were in their own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. See how much they said. The Bible calls it an evil report. Do you know that what they said was just an observation? But the scriptures call it an evil report because it contradicts what God said. So there will be times when what you will see and observe will contradict what God has said. It's not an evil report until you believe it. Now, you know, these guys are so adamant that as Caleb said, stop it right there, they continued. Say, who is who are you? I know, did you not see it together? Stop all this. Let's be realistic. Let's be realistic. That's how we just spiritualize everything. Don't spiritualize everything. Be realistic. Some of us will be realistic till you kill yourself. Be realistic. Let's be realistic. But don't forget verse 28. Chapter 14. As you have what? Spoken. As you have what? Spoken. As you have what? Spoken. I love the word spoken there. Dabar in the Hebrew. D-A-B-A-R. Or like the usual way people talk. This should have been put like this, as you have concluded. There are sometimes you speak and you are asking questions and you are not making a conclusion. For example, Mary asked the angel, how shall these things be? She wasn't doubting. You get it? Because this is something that had never happened before. But in Zechariah's case, he was doubting. You get it? So, there are times you ask questions. What should we do? How do you want us to go about it? You're asking questions. You want clarity? But this is not what they did. They didn't want clarity. They said, Moses, we saw this. We saw that. What do you say? That's what they did. They reached a conclusion. We are not able. That's what they said. So, he said, as you have concluded the bar in the Hebrew, so will I do unto you. And the Bible says they brought an evil report in chapter 13, verse 32. That evil report is just one singular word. Just one word. That is the reason why it's called evil is what it does to those who hear it. You know, we get evil reports on television, on blogs, on Facebook. Sometimes evil report in our offices. Sometimes evil reports from the pulpit. Evil report. Praise God. I remember one time there was a lady who brought a girl to one program we had in 97, I think. We called it Miracles Extraordinary. And she wanted us to minister to the boy. But she said, before you go ahead, I want to just tell you something. Anybody who touches him will catch so-and-so. I mean, you're about to minister to someone. So before you do, so that... I smiled. I just carried the boy. Praise God. I mean, you can see why the boy was not healed. That's the person carrying him all over the place. So if you touch this boy like this, that is, you cannot, if you lay hands on this sick, you will be the one to recover. You lay hands on this sick one, you will be the one to recover. And she probably felt she was just being open, transparent, just, you know, and all that. But it's an evil report. Hallelujah. You know, there are believers that give evil reports. You know, what those spies said looked objective. See, we saw them. How did you know they were giants? These are giants now. They said, we are grasshoppers in their sight. Did they ask them how they looked in their sight? Did you ask them and say, sorry, how do we look in your sight? They just concluded against the word of God. Now listen carefully. Anything you say or think contrary to God's word is an evil report. The greatest evil on earth is unbelief. I've said that to you many times. If Adam did not steal, didn't lie, wasn't fornication, it wasn't evil speaking, and then he sinned. Should tell you how heavy unbelief is. Unbelief. So he said they brought an evil report. I like the way the word evil report was used earlier before now. Genesis 37 verse 2. Genesis 37 verse 2. And there, the generations of Jacob being 17 years old, Joseph being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah, Genesis 37 verse 2, and the sons of Zilpha, his father's wife. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than they all, because he was a son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. So he brought an evil report. So an evil report is something you say in a subtle way. That's the, in fact, the evil looks more like a whisper. Something that you say into people's ears. Like a whisper. Numbers 14:36. Like a whisper. In one word. Oftentimes, an evil report is just a summary. Don't do it. It's dangerous. Be careful. Take it easy. Think twice. Sometimes evil report is pray about it. Pray about it. Seek a second opinion. Subtle. That's how it sounds. Look at this. Numbers 14. Verse 36. The men which Moses sent to the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up a slander upon the land. So look at the word slander. So again, look at it. Slander. Something that misrepresents a situation. It says subtly, slander. Verse 37. And those men which did bring the evil report upon the land died by the plague. Evil report. Slander. To contradict someone. To make someone look different from how he's being seen. Psalm 31 verse 13. Now, let me ask you. Who was the slander against? God. God's word. Psalm 31 verse 13. For I have heard the slander of many. The same word, evil report. Slander. Proverbs 10:18. Proverbs 10:18. He that uttereth a slander is a fool. Proverbs 25 verse 10. Proverbs 25 verse 10. Lest he that heareth it put to shame, and an infirmity turns not away. Same word. So, when you hear that, it's actually in a whisper. Something you do subtly to bring someone down. So an evil report is what contradicts God's word. Sometimes it's whispered, subtle. No, but we're just being realistic. No, it's not being realistic. You are slandering God. Praise God. So when he says, as you have spoken in my ears, so shall I do. Now, we understand Bible interpretation now, that what God probably must have said is, I'm helpless. I'm helpless. Because if you doubt his word, you doubt his power, and then his power becomes helpless. That's what it does. Not that God is now going to God is now going to confirm your unbelief for you. No. He said it's slander. That is, God says something and you say something else. But I love God, but I'm just telling you what I saw. Brother, it is slander. An evil report. I have what he says I have. I am not confused. No, I am not confused. Jesus said, I have the light of life. I don't walk in darkness. So I am never confused. I am never confused. So when you say, I am confused, that is what? Slander. That's slander. I have what he says I have. Praise God. Are you there? So it's slander against God's word. Unbelief is evil. Say unbelief is evil. Doubt is evil. Fear is evil. Anxiety is evil. It's evil. I mean, why do you think Jesus would tell his own disciples, his own guys? He said, you are a perverse generation. That's a strong word. His own guys. Why? He said, because of your unbelief. Do you know, he didn't call the prostitute perverse. He didn't call the publican perverse. But he called the Pharisees perverse. Because of their unbelief and hypocrisy. Their own is hypocrisy too. It causes perverseness. Sometimes, the way we see things, we think God sees things through our own eyes. For me to see this way, that's how God sees it. As who? Hallelujah. See, you only love God to the degree of how you uphold his word. A man is not humble because He's greeted you this morning. Bless you, sir. It is well. Shondai. God is good all the time, every morning, every evening. Say, ah, that man is a pious man. He's a great man. When you show him God's word and show him what God has done in Christ, his response is his true character. When you show him what God has done in Christ, you know, before Jesus came, the Pharisees were the great guys. They walk on the street. He said they love greetings in the streets. Ah, that man is a man of God. He wears, listen, I'm just like a Pharisee this morning, but I want to say wear long robe and I look at myself. Well, fine. Amen. And he goes, bless you. Bless you. He said, ah. And when they want to pray, they just pray. Judge Jehovah. The problem is, Judge Jehovah Jireh Nissi Masa Adonai. Say, ah! That man can pray. When they are fasting, you will see it in their faces. Ah! He's fasting. And then Jesus comes and shows them the written word. And they rebelled. That's their true character. He told them, he said, you know, the prostitutes and the publicans go into the kingdom before you. He said, ah! Go for me, Martin! Pro what? Prophet or prostitute? No, prostitute, not prophet. They go in before you. Hey! Said, because they believed. Hallelujah. Are you there? So your true character is your response to God's word. I see some people like that. They don't wear a ring though. No wave on. Nothing is waved. Then you show them from the word of God. Being justified by faith. We have peace with God. Look at it. We have received the gift of righteousness and reigning life. Who are delivered of everything? Pastors. Brother, thank you for everything you have said. But I want to remain on the highway of holiness. Because without holiness, no man can enter heaven. Hebrews 16:16. No man. That fellow is proud. I say it next week. That fellow is humbly proud. You know where you are? Humbly proud. Bless you. And his pride is your response to the word that shows your true character. So an evil report. Now notice this. Do you know that the evil in those guys was not in their conduct? It was what they said. Hallelujah. Look at Hebrews 10. Are you learning something? Hebrews 10:22. Say unbelief is evil. Say it again. Unbelief is evil. Hebrews 10:22. The writer of Hebrews says, let us draw near. That's not to you and I. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. Can you imagine that? He calls unbelief an evil conscience. A full assurance of faith. The word there, evil, means slothful. To be slow. So that means your heart is slow to accept the word of God. Because it's evil conscience. Evil. To accept the word of God. Slothful. We must realize that faith is our most vital attitude in God's kingdom. Faith. God says something, I believe it. I may not feel it. I may not see it actually. I may not have the experience, but I have it because he said it. And so I will say it the way he said it, because it is true. I am what he says I am. I have what he says I have. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. I must learn to speak that way. I must learn to see God's word in that light. Let me show you something quickly. Hebrews 11. You learn something? Are you learning something? Hebrews 11. Watch this. Make an observation. Hebrews 11. Verse 23. I want us to read this one together. Are you ready? Are you ready? All right, let's go. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was he 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, 24, let's go. Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction in the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect on the recompense of the reward. 27. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured to see him who is invisible. Verse 20. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Now notice that. Who kept the Passover? Moses here now. Look at 29 quickly. By faith they passed through the... Now by whose faith here? That has to be Moses. Because we just read about these people earlier on that they did not believe. Okay? Are you there? Let's go. By faith. 29. Let's take it again. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, where the Egyptians are said to do where... Now look at the next verse. By faith the what? Hold on. Hold on. Something is missing historically there. How would you move from Red Sea to Jericho? That's 40 years. Why? You couldn't have called those 40 years by faith. Because we just read it in Hebrews 3:17 that they had unbelief. And that was the period the law was given. You can't call the giving of the law by faith. Because the law was given because of their unbelief. So by faith. Because of their unbelief. Hebrews 4:2. The gospel that was preached unto us was also preached unto them. But the word preached did not profit in them, in that it was not mixed with faith in them that heard it. Praise God. I said, praise God. Are you there? So you can see. They perished because of unbelief. Not because of Not in any way because of their deeds. Yes, they had terrible deeds, but see, because of their unbelief. That's why you'll find Samson was mentioned. Samson. Who was Samson? Samson even committed suicide. You know he committed suicide? You don't know? Samson committed suicide. And he's called a hero of faith. You find Rahab the harlot. If I don't think it's strange. Everybody just keeps calling her Rahab the harlot. So you will recognize who she is. James says Rahab the harlot. It is the ex-harlot. One day we'll understand what they were saying. Hallelujah. You know, Martin Luther said, I teach justification by faith every week because my people forget it every week. You have to say this thing over and over again. People quickly forget it. Say, I teach my people justification by faith every week because my people forget it every week. Hallelujah. You got to remind them that you are justified by faith. Hallelujah. Paul says, are you so soon removed? I'm wondering, Paul, come around to this period. That one is soon. That one is not soon at all. When you see the one that is soon, you will write another letter. Are you so soon removed? You know, people are like, hey, yeah, just by my face. I watched one video. Sinatra, the great Sinatra, great singer. She sang the song, I Know Who I Am. What's that song again? I don't know that song. I don't know. I am just, I am righteous, something like that. Huh? I am holy. And everybody was in very big idea. Not Christ in the mercy. I am right. Everybody sang the song. I just thought, I said, watch what's going to happen. And I finished singing. Justified. Then the pastor came on. And he knelt down. Everybody knelt down. Father, we cry unto you. Grant us holiness. Cleanse our hearts. Purify us, Daddy. As he was saying that, the same people said, yeah. So that Paul saying soon. He doesn't get it. Come around some believer. It's not soon. You won't find it to be light be. And light was. So Martin Luther said, I teach justification by faith every week to my people because my people forget it every week. Praise God. Are you there? Look at the three Hebrew children. Daniel 3. I've explained this before. Just take it again. Daniel 3. So notice something. Caleb and Joshua saw what the elders saw. But they responded by faith. They responded by faith. That's what they did. Look at this. Daniel 3. We'll just take the very critical places. Where the king, Nebuchadnezzar, said that he would throw anyone into the furnace if you don't bow to him. Look at their response. Verse 15. He said, who is that God, the B part, that shall deliver you out of my hands? Let's take verse 16 together. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king. Come on, say it again. Answered and said to the old Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee on this matter. I love that. We are not careful to answer thee. In fact, what they said was so strong that the Hebrew puts it as sentence. That saying, we're not careful to judge you on this matter. To sentence. It's like he gave a sentence, they gave their own. It's the word pitham. P-I-T-H-G-A-M. In the Hebrew, it means to give a sentence. We're not careful to give a sentence, to give a ruling on this matter. They made their conclusion. They were not guessing. We're not careful. The same word was used in chapter 4, verse 17. To give a sentence, to give a ruling. We're not careful. They said, our God, if it be so, our God, that if you cast us into the fire, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of the land, O king. But if not, now people have interpreted that to mean, if not, that if our God does not deliver us, that's careless reading. If you put us in the fire, our God is able to deliver us. They can't say, if not what? If he doesn't deliver us, we will not worship you. They don't need to worship anymore. He said, who is able to deliver you? Who? Say, if not, if you put us in the fire, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. And if you don't, we will still not bow. That's what they said. Unqualified committer. Words that were not ambiguous. In fact, for emphasis, they said, our God is able to deliver us and he will deliver us. Hallelujah. Double mention. Hallelujah. Your confession must be unambiguous. It must be clear. It must be very clear. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Hallelujah. They gave him a fixed answer. I can have what I say. And they got what they said. Praise God. Go to Romans 4. Romans 4. Are you there? Romans chapter 4. It's Abraham now. Verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Look at 18. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. I showed you that last week. God said, then he became. Listen now. God said, past tense, then he became. God said, then he became. Take that again. God said, a father of many nations have I made you, past tense. Then he became. How did he become? He called the things that be not as though they were. What do you mean by that? That means, as God said it, nothing happened. Nothing. There was nothing that changed. His body was now dead. The womb of his wife was also pronounced dead. But what did he do? Pay attention. He called the things. What are the things? The word things would probably be, he called the specific pronoun. That is what God said. The, H-O in the Hebrew, in the Greek. He called it by speaking. He called what God said. In other words, he put God's word on his mouth. And said it as though it had happened literally. So last week, he first of all changed his name. From Abraham to Abraham. Because the name he was bearing was contradicting what God said. He changed his name. He now began to call the things. Now that word T, the things, can be used for actions. Pay attention. It can be used for events. It can be used for persons. That means before I do the right thing, I must first start by saying the right thing. I don't say I am without sin because I checked my last week and I didn't find any wrong conduct. I say it before I act. I am justified. I'm free from sin. My life glorifies God. You say that before your conduct. Are you there? Because if you do it, then say it, then there's nothing to thank God for. That means you are only marking your scripts. But if I say it before I saw it, and I say I'm what he says I am, I have what he says I have, this is who I am. Hallelujah. He says, he calls the things that be not as though they were. That means you couldn't see what he was saying. You couldn't see what he was saying. Many of us have learned to call the things that be the way they are. I'm just being realistic. Well, say what the word says. Hallelujah. Say what the word says. 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 You shall have whatsoever you say. Say what the word says. See, acknowledging a situation is not what glorifies God. Anybody can say what you have said. If you say, well, this happened to me. You don't need faith to tell me the reality of a scenario. You know, you don't need to be a believer to assess a situation. Just be a human being. But it takes a believer to acknowledge God's word over the situation. That's what faith does. Faith affirms the realities of God's word. It attests to its facts. I am what he says I am. I have what he says I have. See, many of the teachings that come out of all this Second Work of Grace teachings, people talk about, they say it's about conduct and all that. You know, they're actually teachings of unbelief wrapped up in morality. They want us to see a change before we say it has happened. No. We say it has happened even when we don't see it, and we will see it. Hallelujah. That's actually unbelief packaged as morality. I am what he says I am. I have what he says I have. I call the things that be not. Now, you know, if you saw Abraham, you say he's lying. He's not being realistic. He's not being factual. But the greater facts are the facts of God's word. The greater facts are the facts of God's word. Even if I don't see the results today, I will see them. I will see them. That he might become the father of many nations. Are you following me this morning? So that means God said it and Abraham didn't keep quiet. God has said it. God has said it. He is able to do what he said he will do. That is why you are called Jehovah. Come and keep it. Be doing choir there. You recall that Abraham's lifestyle was reduced. His account was, we can say it was managed. Hallelujah. So, you and I must learn to say what God has said, even about our conduct. The greater facts of God's word. I mean, Paul will see believers who didn't live right. And he will say, know ye not. That he didn't say, you shall be. He said, you are. You are. He says, how can you take that which is the body of Christ and let it be joined unto Allah? That is not possible. I said, you are telling someone who has already done it. And he said, how can you do it? He said, Paul, be real. Come, come. You are preaching license to sin. Don't you get? No. That's the spirit of faith. You call the things that be not as though they were, that he might become the father of many nations. So I call the things that be not as though they were. So I mustn't be passive. Abraham just said, covenant keeping God, there is no one like you. Give me all those God songs. Help me. He is able, abundantly able to deliver. You know, he said, he is. No. You must speak it from a past tense. I am delivered. I am what he says I am. I have become all he said I am. And that's what I am now. Praise God. So I say, be very careful. Your mouth is too big. Well, I have a big God to back it up. Hallelujah. I've got to say what he said. I've got to say what he said. I'm going to use the same tenses that he used. Yeah. Did you hear me? I'll use the same tenses that he used. If God put it in the past tense, that means it's the past tense for me. I'm what he says I am. I have what I say. So what did he do? Look at verse 18. Against hope. Oh, come on. Against hope, what did he do? He believed in hope. Now, that means there are two kinds of hope. The word hope is the Greek word helpis, an expectation. That means when you look in the natural, there's an expectation it creates. The doctor tells you, you know, this is the situation now. Or you look at your business, your work, and they say, this is the situation. That's hope. Because words paint hope. Words have their own expectation. Reports. But it says against that hope. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Against hope, what did he do? He believed in hope. That means against the report of man. Against the report of the senses. He had God's report. He believed in hope. Praise God. How do you believe in hope? It's not by staying somewhere and doing like this. No, it's by speaking. He was calling the things. He was calling the things. You know, he didn't call the things once. Just like Jesus did not speak to the fig tree once. He said, whosoever shall say and shall believe that those things which he what? Says, he shall have whatever he wants. You know, so there are three kinds of saying there. The first one is authority. The second one is what? To affirm. The third one? Huh? What is it? Huh? Consistency. Three kinds. Mark 11:23. Who against hope believed in hope. Look at the verse 19. Not being weak in faith. That means there comes a time you become weary. Because if things happen instantaneously, verse 20 will not be written. That means there will be times you will speak things and you won't see anything. Some of us think that is like magic. Hey! 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 And that's why I tell believers, what I'm about to say, please allow me to say it the way I want to say it. Don't get used to what we call miracles. Boom! Instantaneous miracles. Ooh. There are times you got to use your faith. And use your faith and walk in the word by yourself. Amen. And one thing about the faith life is that it also builds character in you. It does. He kept saying it. Not being weak in faith. That means you could go and do a checkup and it's still there. You wake up the next morning, it's still there. Because some folks have not been fed well, they'll say, Pastor, is he there? Sometimes, which is not wrong anyway, they said, let somebody else lay hands on me. The way I'm seeing it, it's Bro Beckley that laid hands. Bro Beckley is under pastor. Let me go and meet pastor. The pastor that lays hands again, he says, hey, who shall we go? He said he loves Kenneth Hagin. Where is Kenneth Hagin? He said he's dead. Chai. You know, you can start thinking like that. Praise God. So told me, he said, you laid hands on me the last time. I said, yeah. So I believe I received my healing. But I want you to confirm it again. Said, if I'm going to lay hands on you, I'll confirm your unbelief. You have received. Hallelujah. I'm what he says I am. Do you know, that's the same way we believe Jesus died for our sins. Did you see him? No, he didn't. Same unconscious reality. I call the things that be not as though they were. Hallelujah. That means I'll use them in the present tense. You know, that's quite tough. I use something in the present tense that I cannot see. You know, if I use it in the future tense, it looks nicer. I know something good will happen. I know something great. I know the Lord will do. You know, anybody can say that. But then you have nothing and say, the Lord has done it. I have it already. Your mind goes, oh God. Oh God. Be careful. Add wisdom. Add wisdom. Add some wisdom to these things. No, that's not wisdom. That's unbelief. Say, and cause the things that be not. That means you won't see it anywhere. He calls them as though they were. Praise God. I can never be defeated. And I'll never quit. I can never go down. I'm staying up. Nothing brings me down. I'm victorious all day. I don't know defeat. I don't lose. I win all the time. Glory, 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 glory. You know, you say that when nothing has happened. If you just got a raise or you got a 1 billion naira contract and you say that, that's not faith. That's just affirming something that's happened. Anybody can say what you have said. Anybody can give thanks to God and be happy and celebrate when he sees something in the natural. It takes a man of faith not to see anything in the natural and rejoice even far better than someone who has seen something. That's a man of faith. Amen. Many of us know how to speak about mountains. We know how to describe mountains. We know how to draw them. I can draw this mountain for you. Come and see. I will draw it for you. I will use 3D projection. It's time to speak, praise God, and call the things that be not as though they were. Glory, glory, glory. I said, glory, 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 glory. You know, the job is yours. Amen. He said, that job is mine. I have it. Praise God. I get calls. Amen. Amen. I've applied and it's mine. So I said, it's mine. Did they send a letter to you? Say, it's mine. Woo! It's mine. It's mine. It's mine. It's mine. Amen. You call the things that be not. Look at it again. He said, and verse 20. So I said, that was verse 19, sorry. Verse 20, and staggered not. That means there will be a reason to stagger. You know, Abraham was so wealthy that sometimes in life, he was so wealthy, his money could not solve this one. You know, because, you know, sometimes I learned Pastor Chris said this one time. He said, sometimes it's the money we have that makes us walk in doubt. When you are sick, you just say, well, I can afford it. I can afford a surgery. I can just go do this one, do that. He had the money, but this one, the doctors have said, adopt. You know, when doctor, the woman with the issue of blood, she spent all that she had. At ATM, when you put it inside, it goes zero. The thing just throws it out. Spent all she had on sickness. You will never spend money on sickness in the name of Jesus. You will not waste your livelihood on sickness in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. That's never God's plan. For you to take your salary and cure sicknesses and disease. Never. There is a non-expensive route. It's called the healing power. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Spending money doesn't mean that a man can be cured. But when you believe in the power of God, you will be healed. Hallelujah. Did you hear what I said? So he staggered not. Look at verse 21. Fully persuaded. Come on. What did you say? Fully persuaded. That even if Abraham wants to convince Abraham, Abraham cannot be convinced again. Hallelujah. He got a point. That Abraham couldn't tell Abraham, stop it. Abraham gave up to Abraham. Fully persuaded. Giving glory to God. Hallelujah. Even if you've seen anything, how you're giving glory to God. Wow. Giving glory to God for His word. Can you just, you're not giving glory to God because you got a testimony. You are giving glory to God just because of what He said. Brother, that takes something. Just what He said. Just what He said. You haven't seen anything. You haven't seen anything. So, why are you so thankful? God said. Woo! Why are you so glad? God said. God said. God said. So, okay, so what's going to happen? No, it has happened. Yeah. Calling the things that be not. Did you say as though they will be? As though they are. They are. So, that means your tenses are present tense. I have what I say. I have what I say. Who against hope? Believe in hope. You know, in our lives, we can trace where doubt came from. So, Abraham, watch this one. He called the things that be not as though they were. How did he do it? He believed. So, giving glory to God is by speaking. Believing is by speaking. Watch this now. Not staggering at the promise of God is by speaking. Being fully persuaded is by speaking. By calling the things that be not as though they were. So that means you do not have any faith life that will not be opposed by circumstances. There will be. There will be contradictory reports. Learn to affirm God's word above what you see and what you heard. Let me add one more. Even above your own experiences. Many of us so much believe in our experiences. That it is what we feel that we say. No. Say what he said. Say what he said. Say what he said. Oh, but I can't see anything. Yes, that's the point. Say what he said. Affirm what he has said. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you there? That's what Jesus did. Do you know that everything Jesus did for us was given to us for us to save? Look at Romans chapter 10 verse 8. What's here? The word is nigh thee in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we preach. Pay attention. If you will confess with your mouth, what? The Lord Jesus. And believe with your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you shall be what? Saved. My God. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That means everything God did for us in Christ, he put them in words. Why? So that you can say the same thing. I say I am saved because he said so. Praise God. Praise God. Words. I believe in my heart. I say with my mouth, I'm saved. I believe in my heart. I say with my mouth, then I'm saved. Hebrews 3:1, he calls Jesus the apostle and the high priest of our confession. Everything he did is called confession. The apostle and high priest of our confession. So it's first our confession before it's our experience. It's first our confession before it's our experience. I say, the word confession is the word homologia I showed you last week. Homologia. Hebrews 4:14. Alright? We must see to it, write this down, that our words affirm what God has done in Christ. We must see to it that our words affirm what God has done for us in Christ. That's why the writer of Hebrews will tell them, Hebrews 4:14, hold fast the confession. The word hold fast, our confession, is a Greek word that means to lay hold on it. So even when we are preaching to the unsaved, Paul says, lay hold on this confession. The gospel is called the confession. So as you are preaching to the unsaved, what are you saying? Lay hold on this confession. Hallelujah. That's what hold fast. Lay hold on it. That is, you need to take this confession. Praise God. Lay hold on this confession. Lay hold on it. Hebrews 4:14, saying that we have a high priest pass unto the heaven, Jesus Christ. He says, lay hold on this confession. Same thing, Hebrews 10:23. Lay hold on this confession. That's to the unsaved. That's to the unsaved. He needs to take, lay hold on it. Hebrews 4:14, Hebrews 10:23. But look at the believer. Hebrews 13:15. The believer, let us therefore offer. Woo! See? Because we have already laid hold on it when we believe the gospel. So Hebrews 13:15, let us offer the sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of our lips. Wow! Confessing his name. So what happens? At salvation, we lay hold on the confession. After that, we now begin to walk in it. We begin to say it. We begin to say, I am blessed, I am sanctified, I am purified, I am justified, I am holy. Hallelujah! Because everything God did for us in Christ are in words. They are first in words before they become our experiences. They are first in words before they become our experiences. So I need to affirm that greater fact of God's word. So I use my authority in thanksgiving. In thanksgiving. I use my authority in thanksgiving. Everything God did for us. Jesus is called the apostle and high priest of this confession. That means this is what he did. This confession is what he did. He died for our sins. He was buried. He's justified. He sits at the right hand of the Father and we are seated in him. He has brought many sons to glory. Hallelujah. He that sanctified and those who are sanctified are all of one Father. For this cause, he is not ashamed to call them brethren. He wrote that so that you can say it. He didn't write so that you just read it and just know it in your head. Hebrews 13:5 says, he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that you may boldly say. That means God gave us what to say. God gave us what to say. We have to put it on our lips. Hallelujah. You must ensure that God's word overwhelms your own experiences. What you say overwhelms your experiences till they change. Any change, I heard Kenny Copeland say this years ago, and I never forget it. He said, anything you get outside speaking God's word, even if it is good, is not from God. He said, you must first of all start by affirming it. that this has happened, then you will see. That is how the glory goes to Jesus alone. What a truth. Everything God has done, He put in words. The gospel is in words. Hallelujah. You believe it, and you say it, and you'll become all that God said you are. I must learn to put the greater facts of God. Quickly, let me just show you something briefly. You know, many times we discover that we begin to affirm the word of God, we see contrary things. They come to our minds. Sometimes it's fear. I showed you that. Fear, doubt, and unbelief. Remember what I said in the first session, the first time we started this, that fear is expressing what? Words. Doubt is expressing what? Words. That fear and doubt will die unborn until they are spoken. They won't do anything. Because in your mind, fearful thoughts could just bombard them. But until you release their authority in words, nothing happens. Nothing. It's still a temptation till you start to see them. Are you still out there? Because your words are the things that wield authority over your life. If doubt comes to your mind, that's all. All of us have doubt in our minds. It comes to us. Things we listen to, things people say around us, but we only give expression to them when we start to see them. So what we need to do, I taught this many years ago, I hope one day this year I'll teach it again. How to locate fear. Where did it come from? Where did it come from? Do you know that every doubt, fear, and unbelief can be traced to an information? You heard something. Someone said something. You know, in the house of Jairus, listen to this, Jesus got in there, and the minute he said, he saw people crying, and then he said, "Your daughter, he sleeps." You know God raises the dead? You know God raises the dead? Hallelujah. You believe that? Do you believe that God raises the dead? When you see someone die, you know you can say, God will raise you from the dead. It's a reality. Praise God. Hallelujah. He said, the maid sleeps. The girl sleeps. And everyone began to laugh. Pay attention. Do you know Jesus did not say, "Watch me"? He drove them out. So you must look around. You must do environmental faith sanitation. Why am I having this feeling? What am I listening to? Who is speaking around me? What am I reading? There's something that will make you, that is making you feel the way you feel. There's an information you heard. It could be someone so close to you. Could be a sibling, could be a friend, could be a colleague at work, could be someone saying something consistently around you that is breeding fear and unbelief. I'll locate it. This is where it's coming from. And just like Jesus, I'll drive it out. I will ensure he doesn't stay around me long enough. Amen. I said amen. You need to locate that. Where's it coming from? Where's it coming from? You must look at your words. So I'll close here. Your words must mean to you more than just expressions. That means you must watch the things you joke about. You must watch the things that you joke about. I was just playing. Don't play around evil. Don't play around evil. Don't say things that you don't want to come to pass. You know, Paul says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth." Ephesians 4:29. "But that which is good to the edifying of your hearers." That means if my words can build people, they can build me. If my words can tear down people, they can tear me down. I must use my words to edify myself. You know our words edify the church? How much more myself? I mustn't say silly things. Things I don't want to come to pass. Things that won't build up my love walk. Things that won't build up my ministry or my Christian experience. I must learn to affirm the greater facts of God's word. Say, I affirm the greater facts of God's word. I must do that. If my words can build someone, then that means my words can build me. What about saying that I'm not struggling with sin or habits. I'm free from sin. I please God. I walk in the Spirit. You say that so often. You know, sometimes as a preacher, you say, you tell everybody the word of God but yourself. No. It's time to preach to yourself. It's time to let you hear the gospel yourself. It's time to let you hear it. That this is what God said. And this is who you are. Amen. My words are more than just words and letters. My words are authority. They come to pass. I have what I say. I believe in my heart that those things that I say come to pass. And I have whatsoever that I say. Praise God. I said, praise God. If my words can build others, then they can build me too. Amen. You learned something this morning? Have you learned something this morning? Stand to our feet. Let's just sing in the Spirit song. Amen. Sing in the Spirit song.